Although it is dawn, in Bhima's heart it is dark. Even as the first light of the day filters in through the crack where the tin roof meets the horizontal planks of the hovel, she makes no move to get up from the mattress on the mud floor. There is no need. It has been 3 days since she has carried her meager possessions out of Seradubash's house, 3 long days of being home with her sullen, wounded granddaughter, whose every silence, every unspoken word, is an accusation that Bhima, in her dogged faithfulness to the Dubash household, in her loyalty to the fair-skinned woman who was her mistress for donkey's years, has been wrong, has stupidly spent her life valuing the wrong family over her own. There is no need to wake up this morning because there is no job to go to. No household to manage, no floor to briskly sweep, no pots and pans to scrub until the morning sun twinkles in them, no mid-morning cup of tea to share with Zerabai. That is, if squatting on the floor and drinking out of the glass reserved for her, while Zerabai sits at the table sipping out of her cup of fine china, can be called sharing. But as she lies awake with her eyes wide open, tracing the morning light as it moves across her shabby one-room hut like a finger moving slowly across the written page, Bhima's heart aches at the thought of those days spent in Sarabai's quiet, luxurious apartment with its air conditioners and ceiling fans, its running water and toilets that flush. And yet, this is not what she has spent the last 3 days mourning. The loss that is the weight of an elephant, the one that sits heavily on her chest, is the loss of things that are unnamed and unnameable. The pride Sarabai used to take in her work, the quiet dignity that she accorded Bhima, so that even when, on occasion, she was annoyed at Bhima's tardiness or some other minor infraction, Sarabai wrestled to control her irritation before she spoke. And the familial affection with which Sarah's daughter Dinaz, who had grown up before her eyes, treated her as if Bhima were a beloved aunt rather than a servant. "Bhima's like family to us," she'd often overheard Sarabai say to her friends. And even though Bhima choked a bit on the qualifier, she was smart enough to appreciate the sheer good luck of serving a family this generous, of a mistress who was willing to incur the ridicule and even the outrage of her friends by making such a declaration. Now she feels that gratitude curdling into the bitterness that is her true inheritance, her parallel shadow self. It is as if she had swallowed the seeds of some bitter fruit in childhood, and they have borne a tree that grows within her, yielding its bitter harvest time and time again. In the long-ago days following the torturous deaths of her son-in-law and her daughter Pooja to AIDS, on the day when her Gopal left her that life-altering letter before absconding with their son, Amit, and the time before that, when Gopal's foreman had made her sign a piece of paper that cleaved their family in two. Perhaps time has dulled these betrayals because, when she thinks of them now, it's like watching the ignorant, trusting woman she once was, as you would an actress in a movie. But the recent betrayal is a fresh wound, a newly plucked fruit, and it fills her not so much with anger as with shame. Again. It has happened again. And this time there is no God to blame. No tide of misfortune that tossed her like a coconut onto an indifferent shore. This time, she curses herself for trying to protect Dinar's baby and Sarabai from Sarabai's son-in-law's poison, and instead getting poisoned herself. She should have revealed Viraf's secret the day she discovered it, instead of covering it up and allowing his shame to become hers. To dislodge the bitter pit at the base of her throat, Bhima rolls to her side and hears the familiar pop in her hip, followed by the second of stinging pain. She waits for the pain to subside and then closes her eyes. After more than 60 years of rising at dawn and stepping into the day, she can sleep in today. Soon she will have to get a job, but at her age she knows it will be difficult. And if Viraf has spread his serpent poison to the surrounding buildings, if he has fed the lies that he told Sarabhai to their neighbors and acquaintances, finding another job will be even harder. Bhima looks across the room and sees her granddaughter Maya, sleeping a few feet away from her. She hears Maya's deep breath and smiles.